Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
The Riders start at quarterback on Thursday at Ottawa. I didn't even put the right names in there, so hang on the poll. Isaac Harker, Cody Fajardo, or other. And right now, I might put other. Who are you guys voting for the starting quarterback for the Rough Riders on Thursday?
I really like this Harker kid. But that doesn't mean I want to ruin his career by starting him in a professional game that he has no idea what the rules are, first of all. This is an American kid playing in Canada, still getting used to the field. Like I said, I like the it factor, the eyeball factor. He looks like he's going to be a player. But like you said, he also looks like he doesn't have a clue that there's an extra player or the field is bigger. He's only been playing in Canada for 3 weeks.
Yeah, my answer, I'd start for Fajardo, but I wouldn't be afraid to consider platooning as early as this first game. I grew up in the era when our quarterbacks were John Huffnagel and Joe Barnes, and it was really fun having a 1-2 punch or a 2-1 punch, depending on the game. And, if you don't have a clear-cut starter, which we don't right now, and unless Fajardo comes out of the gate looking, like a starter potential, then I wouldn't be afraid to platoon those two guys. I'd rather platoon them than to throw Harker to the Wolves and see us ruin his career because his confidence is shot. So my answer would be Fajardo.
And I can't believe we're actually having this conversation. Only in Saskatchewan are we having this conversation. The backup quarterback hasn't even played a game yet.
It's about to change.
And we already want the backup quarterback.
The backup's backup.
Right. We brought the guy in to be the backup quarterback, which means when the starter gets hurt, you bring this guy in. And we're already calling for his head. I don't get it. If we want the third string, then we should have let Fajardo go and save the money.
We didn't comment on this earlier, and I had asked sort of an open-ended question, why did Fajardo leave the game? And one of our texters said he got taken out for concussion protocol and then came back because he passed it. So I think that was while he was away getting his concussion going through the concussion protocol, Harker came in and completed a couple of passes. So I think Dickinson said, well, I'll stick with the hot hand because Harker's looking good. So I think that's why, and I thought he had an injury, and that's why he was out for a little while. So thanks for the guy that texted in.
And that's what we were talking about during the break, is he came in and did a few things. He threw to his right. Some things that, here's some credit to McAdoo, he did a few things that McAdoo saw that he did well in camp. Here's these three things that you do, go and do them. He did them well, bring him out of the game. Here's Fajardo back in there again. And that's how I see the platooning. Bring him in, do the thing that he's good at. Maybe have him turn around and hand the ball off a couple times. If that's the direction you want to go, if you want to bring Harker in now, but man, you got to give Fajardo a chance. Like you got to give six games.
You come out of training camp with a listed depth chart for a reason.
Yeah.
So you're now down to the number two guy. The number one guy is gone. And when the number two guy gets hurt or if he's struggling, then you put in the number three. That's Isaac Harker. So really shouldn't even be a discussion. Mm-hmm. But Thursday, I apologize. I didn't have an answer for your question. You were talking in the break, Marshall, about whose helmet being set. That was the day my mom passed away. So I was a little distracted trying to keep an eye on the football game. And we're with family, making arrangements. And of course, we're all football fans. I'm saying we had the game on in the background. But I'm watching this at my brother's house, enjoying Sparky's Pizza, saying, how come they got Fajardo? How come they got Harker in? Like, it was a carousel, right? And then I was under, like, I just looked up. I wasn't really following it play by play by play. By the way, first time in 20 years that I've missed an actual snap of Rider football. So that was strange, too, a little bit. But
Just to give you a bit of background, I mean, for people who are wondering what you're talking about. So I'm driving in from the lake where I live to the city this morning. I'm listening to a radio station, and they happen to be interviewing Brett Butt, who's premiering the second season of Corner Gas, the animated version or something like that. And I think it was Warren Woods asked him a question that had nothing to do with Corner Gas, but said, so what did you think of Harker? And he said, you know, I was impressed, but then he made a comment. He says, but he's got to find a way to put his helmet on properly. And I just howled to myself in the car, because there's three or four times in that game where they did a close-up on him, and his helmet was like, it was like you were wearing a fedora where it was tilted to the side. And Brett Butt said something like, well, hopefully somebody can figure out how to get his helmet to fit him properly. But I was impressed with Harker, but he's got to find a way to put his helmet on right.
Should Hamilton be concerned that they barely beat a Saskatchewan Roughriders team that was down to their third-string quarterback? I would suggest they should be.
Yeah, they weren't as impressive as I thought they would be. But it's the first game of the year. You know, they were still good on defense. They weren't good on offense. And sometimes it takes a while for an offense to gel, especially when your quarterback doesn't play very much in the preseason. They're still going to be a really good football team. I still got my $50 bet with Nashville that Hamilton will finish first in the East. I stand by that, both the bet and the decision. But it's the first game of the year. I mean, Calgary didn't look good the first game of the year. They're the Grey Cup champions.
They're the thing. They won. Hamilton won. Their offense didn't look... it looked like their offense, the extra tight end and all that kind of stuff. It's just the little things. And that's and it's easy to point it to just a lack of reps as a first-team unit in when real bullets flying.
Our producer, Clark, telling us regarding our video chat with Milt Stegall from Atlanta. The note I have here on the prompter, Milt Stegall was too good-looking and our call-in system couldn't handle it. We'll get him on tomorrow at 10:45. So is Gary Lawless going to have that problem? When we get Lawless from Vegas, is he going to melt the system? He's too good-looking, too. So is that going to happen, Clark, or not? Are we going to have Lawless? Oh, okay. The system melted down today. Well, that's unfortunate. But we can continue with our discussion today, and the questions roll in. There was one earlier. What is Canada's game of the week this week? I really wish that the CFL would jump on board with my idea that the game of the week should be Canada's game of the week. And for me, it was Winnipeg at BC last week, and it didn't disappoint. Nope. It was an upset with the Bombers going in and winning by 10, but kudos to them. If I was doing power rankings today, which I may still by the end of the week, would have Winnipeg at number one right now.
Yep.
And I think I had them at about number five going into the year. That was with all things being equal and Zach Caleros being healthy. And the Riders have plummeted in what my power rankings would be in week two. But to the question, what's Canada's game of the week this week? Thursday, it's the Rough Riders at Ottawa. Friday, it's BC at Edmonton. And Saturday, it's Hamilton at Toronto. There are only three games this week. Three teams have byes. My inkling is to go with BC at Edmonton. It really is. But Hamilton at Toronto gets a lot of blows a lot of skirts up. You know, peels a lot of bananas. I don't know. What do you guys think? What's the game of the week?
I'll always default to the West.
To the West. Well, so do I. But
yeah. So for me, it's BC Edmonton. I think those are two teams. And I know last week I picked Saskatchewan for fourth and Edmonton for fifth. But if I was picking today, based on what we know about Zach Caleros, it would be Saskatchewan fifth and Edmonton fourth. So based on that, I think that this is the battle for who gets third place in the Western Conference. So I think, you know, Mike Riley coming back wanting to do well in Edmonton. Edmonton looked really good on offense, but they got to clean up some turnovers. This is being played in Edmonton. I think this is going to be a really close football game. And right now, you know, I haven't decided yet because I haven't thought much about it. But who do you pick in that one? That's a pick 'em for me.
We will talk about that tomorrow when in the
tomorrow
huddle.
And in the huddle, I'll have an answer for you.
We'll get down to the picks.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, it's again, I said I spent all weekend talking to football guys, and I did, and it was awesome. There's a lot of out-of-work football guys, which is unfortunate for them, for the CFL, for everybody. And the XFL, too, by the way. There's just not a lot of jobs to be had out there. I don't like the way football is going that way.
You mean as athletes? Because that's what all this AFL and all, they're just raking up the leaves and creating more talent and stuff like that. So The out of work guys. I always say if you need a job, if you deserve a job in football or in sports, you have one. Everyone.
No,
has
I don't agree with that. Not when it's limited. You can only have 11 coaches, and the Riders had 15 or 16 last year. There's only so much room. Right. They're qualified guys.
That's not where I'm going. I'm not saying guys aren't qualified.
But the point it is what you're saying. What would you say? You said if they were qualified, they'd have jobs. Is that not what he just said?
I thought, as you meant as players. If you're a defensive back and you're way better than this defensive back that has a job, you probably want a little bit more money than this person that has a job. So there's always a reason. I don't think there's attitude.
But
or
now
whatever.
You're getting down to it. You're getting down to it. So the Riders had 30 scouts under the Chris Jones era, and I had most of their phone numbers. So these guys weren't making a lot of money. In a lot of cases, it's a jacket and business cards. Believe me, my dad scouted for 35 years. I know how they operate. They just want to be part of something.
Of the team.
So if you're trying to find the next one, and you're Jeremy O'Day, and all your scouts have been wiped out, as has not every team operated the way Chris Jones did, but it's tough. It's tough. For Jones, for instance, if there was a defensive back in Albuquerque, New Mexico that was having a tryout, Jones would have somebody there in an hour.
Because
he had somebody everywhere.
And that person had never heard of Canada, let alone Saskatchewan. They have no idea. People don't realize that these people have never heard of us before.
So what's your point?
It's the scout's job to go and tell these people working at the Dunkin' Donuts because you can't start for the Dallas Cowboys doesn't mean that there's not a job in football for these people. They just don't know what their opportunity was. The scout's job is to go down and say, hey.
But now you can't even have volunteer scouts.
Volunteers. And that's really one of maybe the only thing that I think Ambrosi's gone backwards on, in my opinion, is that we should have more stuff like that, not less stuff, you know?
I agree.
But at the same time, not every club could afford 20, 30.
If guys want to volunteer, they should be allowed to volunteer. In my, and they can't even volunteer under these new rules. Marshall's twisting and turning.
Because then so if you have a high network of people, if your Rolodex is really high, that makes you more attractive as a head coach. Isn't that what it's all about? Who you know?
Well, furthermore, I'm so happy to bring this discussion. Marshall, you make mental checkloads of notes of all these things you want to jump in on here. Because one of the football guys said to me was, now it's harder for the Riders. They got to go in Ottawa. They don't have Zach. They got to start a young quarterback. Even Fajardo's young. Mm-hmm. How many starts does he have in his life? I'm guessing zero. And then they got to come home to the Argos in the home opener on Canada Day. And how bad is Corey Chamberlain going to want to win in Saskatchewan in his debut with the Argos? And that was one of the things that came up just talking with football guys on the weekend. And those two games
are games that the Riders have to win if they're going to do anything this year. If they're going to finish fourth, if they're not going to finish sixth in the West, they have to win both those games or at least one of them.
Yeah, you're not going to win many games in the West this year, so you got to feast on the East. And so far, they're 0-1 in the East. I think they'll lose to Ottawa. They'll be 0-2 in the East. I think they'll probably win their home opener against Toronto. I would sure hope they would. But if they lose that one, I go 0-3 to start the season, 0-3 against the East, knowing you got to play against all those powerful Western teams multiple times through the latter half of the season. I know you've already given up on the season. I think I have too, predicting them fifth. But yeah, they got to win these games against the East.
And I thought we'd have Zach for at least these three games. I didn't think he would get hurt until at least the sixth game. I hate that I said that, but truth be told, you know, we have to win these games if we're going to do anything. So right now, who can the Riders beat? With the roster they have right now, who can they beat? It's got to be Toronto or Ottawa.
It's got to be the East, yeah.
That's what we're all saying. However, you know, when I started now taking a league-wide view and not just a Rider view, every team in the West is going to beat up on the East. Like somebody said to me, oh, they got to win their home games and win their Eastern games and they'll have a shot. Everybody else is going to do that in the West. That's why it's so tough. Never once did I say the Riders aren't a good team, because they're a good team. But the rest of the teams in the West are great. And that's the conundrum that they're in.
The two teams that I thought would be bad teams this year were Ottawa and Montreal. And guess what?
They both looked
way better this week than I thought they would look. So this is the league's going to be fine. The East is not going to be as weak as we thought they'd be. But still, you know, I don't care whether I'm talking on behalf of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders or the BC Lions or anybody else in the West. You got to feast on the East this year, and you got to win the majority of your games, especially your home games, in the West in order to be one of the three teams that makes the playoffs, or in the case of a crossover, the four coming from the West. But let me come back. You told me to make mental notes about this.
Yeah.
So I think what the league did, if the league is mandating, and I don't know this for a fact, but if the league is mandating X number of personnel on the operations side of football, that is the wrong approach. If they're mandating you can't spend more than $2.7 million on that group of people, that, in my view, is the right approach. Because then I can go out and I can have as many of these nickel and dime scouts or volunteer scouts or whatever term you want to use for them. There's lots of people that would do this. I mean, if you know, you take a retiree like myself, and I'm not volunteering for a job, but if you said, okay, Marshall, you're a retiree from the NFL or the CFL, you've got time on your hands. How'd you like to be a volunteer scout for us in that southeastern part of the United States? I'd say, sure.
You're going to the games anyway.
You know, you'll cover my expenses, and you'll give me a couple of free T-shirts or something like that. I say, sure, I'll do it because it'll be fun. And I can feel like I'm contributing to the success of a football team. You can find people that will do that kind of stuff for not very much money. But I think the league mandated the number of personnel that could do that instead of the dollars you could spend on it.
I just think it's a heck of a lot harder now to be a general manager in the CFL because of the limitation. As a matter of fact, for the people, the thousands that watched our Wally Buono interview on Friday night, which aired, we premiered at 6 p.m. on Facebook Live with Wally. I said, what's your take on the salary cap for the coaching and football operations? He goes, glad I don't have to deal with it.
Yep.
You know, so.
The good news is you said it's harder to be a general manager. I agree with you. But guess what? It's the same level of difficulty for all nine general managers. So it's not like Jeremy O'Day's now got an arm twisted behind his back. All nine of them do. So get over it. But I still think, and I probably said this on In the Huddle two or three years ago, if I was a general manager and I was an inexperienced general manager with not very many contacts in the United States, I'd start phoning up some of the key programs. You know, take Alabama and Oregon and Southern Cal or whatever. I'd pick these. I'd just call up the coach and I'd say, hey, listen, if I can have 10 minutes of your time, here's who I am. This is what I'd like to do. I'd like to be able to be a source for you if you're looking for players that could potentially come to your program. And I'd like you to help out some of the people that you've coached over the years. Give me some names. Just give me three or four people who aren't on anybody else's radar, but you take for a minute. If it was your football team, they're going to give me quality guys with maximum effort who are maybe a little bit undersized or a little bit, you know, bad record because they had a knee injury when they were a sophomore or something like that. They're going to feed me names. From there, you know, I got to decide, okay, which ones am I going to bring into camps and so on. But you talk to coaches, you ask any coach. I mean, if somebody called Chris Jones and said, who are some of the guys you coached up in the Canadian Football League that you think could still make it in the NFL? Chris Jones will give you 10 names in no time.
Oh, I don't think he would, man. I don't think at all. Those names are his. He's bringing those to Cleveland.
That's a bad example.
He's not
but
telling anybody anything.
If you called Mark Dressman, you think Mark Dressman wouldn't give you 20 names in no time?
I'm a coach down there, and you call me up, and I don't think I'm any different than anybody. I'm better looking than most people, but other than that, I'm just a regular
guy. Okay, Milt.
I know. Damn, I wanted to use that. But if you call me and say, hey, I don't know you, Mike, and, you know, you got a great program at Alabama, tell me, where are you from? Oh, CF? Yeah, no. Thanks, but, hey, Rod, I know you're a coach for whatever team. You're some guy from somewhere is calling me looking for stuff that I give you. Just want to let you know. Coaches down, that's what we're talking about, the Rolodex, is that Jeremy's, the reason why Jeremy O'Day is such a good GM, I mean, and he's going to get better, is that he knows a lot of people. Not as much as you know, Bono yet, but he played at college. He has a bunch of mentors all over the place that it's no big deal for him to pick up the phone and say, hey, Abu, I know I haven't talked to you in a while, but we played together for 4 years, and who's your guy? I'm like, oh, hang on a second. I got Marshall on the other line.
Yeah, he's got his.
Hi, Marshall.
He's got his contacts. Click. He'll find his guys. I mean, somebody brought in up here. John says, Paul Jones, the new player personnel guy, has to find a quarterback. He probably will. But the point that the fact that the Riders are in a pinch is that maybe he does find a quarterback this afternoon. He's not going to be ready for 2 to 3 years. That's the whole idea. But, Rob, throwing guys in right away.
What was he doing for the past 4 years? Shouldn't he have been looking for a quarterback for the past 4 years?
Well, he was working for the Eskimos.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, they've been looking, like, I think a lot of times people on Facebook just think that we're going to materialize someone, or that someone
They do think that.
Or that someone wasn't looking for, they're still looking for, who's our best player? Powell's the best running. They're still looking for a better running back. They're looking for a better everything. They're
right, but
for
they have less
punter.
And the point here that we spent the last 10 minutes on, they have less people to be able to find that for you. So now personnel departments have to find a different way to do it. And by the way, because we're up against a break, here's something to gnaw on when we come back. Somebody said to me on the weekend, the only reason Chris Jones was bringing in Vince Young and Trent Richardson and all these names and the Manziel thing was to get his own name out there in football circles. To say, here's the guy up in Canada, look what he's doing. And guess what? It worked. Because now he's in the NFL. We'll talk about this and more when we come back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Rod Peterson Show continues. Monday morning sports update. Jubilant Raptors fans jammed downtown Toronto this morning for the team's victory parade. Toronto cemented its first ever NBA title Thursday night with a 114-110 road win over the Golden State Warriors. The Raptors have started traveling the parade route in open-air double-decker buses with the Larry O'Brien Championship Trophy in tow. That is the parade route that's been mapped out for 50 years.
26
years. But the basketball team got to use it, not the hockey team. Hamilton Ticats linebacker Simone Lawrence will be suspended 2 games for his hit on Zach Collaros in week 1 of the CFL season. Zach Collaros confirmed on Sunday by the Rough Riders that he's gone to the 6-game injured list due to the head. 2 games to Simone Lawrence announced this morning. Brooke Henderson is now Canada's most successful golfer at the tender age of 21. She captured the Meyer LPGA Classic yesterday to break the Canadian record for tour victories with 9. Gary Woodland claimed the U.S. Open to become a first-time major champion. He finished 3 strokes ahead of Brooks Koepka at Pebble Beach yesterday. The Blue Jays open a home series against the L.A. Angels tonight. Toronto coming off a 12-0 thumping over the Astros in Houston. Veteran Edwin Jackson scheduled to start for Toronto. And the Ottawa Senators signed forward Anthony Duclair to a 1-year $1.65 million deal. Ottawa acquired the 23-year-old Duke from Columbus last February. We had a note come in, and what's the shirt that I'm wearing today is from the St. John's Ice Caps. Their equipment manager, Lee Fitzpatrick, sent it to me. The champions of the ECHL this year, formerly the East Coast Hockey League. So Marshall Hamilton and Mike Abu-Meshrick are with us in studio on the Rod Peterson Show today. It's a Monday, overreaction Monday, if you will. Are we overreacting to what happened in week one in the CFL? I don't think so. We've declared the Winnipeg Blue Bombers the top team in the CFL after week one. You notice I did not say Grey Cup champions. They're the top team in the CFL as we sit here today getting ready for week two. But just before the break, I mentioned to these guys, some of the football people I talked to on the weekend said Chris Jones' strategy was to get his name out there by bringing in Vince Young and Trent Richardson and all these big names to Saskatchewan to further his own cause. And it worked because he got hired in Cleveland. I'm not even sure I agree with that theory. It's just what I heard. And you guys are poo-pooing it in the break.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And if it was his idea, then it worked. Good for him. But it wasn't. Like that's... In football, there's no room for anything other than football. It's too vicious of a game. It's too cutthroat in the head office for you to do anything other than your job, you know. So as far as hidden agendas and things like that, I'll never buy it. I'll never go for it. Now, looking out for yourself and looking for an NFL job, I mean, I don't think anything's wrong with that. But I don't think he leveraged any of his responsibilities as the Saskatchewan Rider head coach to further his own cause.
Yeah, I think, you know, Justin, one of our texters, hit the nail on that. If there's a number of reasons why he's a head coach right now, that's not one of them. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that he knew Freddie Kitchens, the head coach, or is he the head coach in Cleveland?
Yeah.
That was probably the number one reason. But I think the quality GMs, the quality owners throughout the NFL, they weren't impressed with the fact that Chris Jones brought up, you know, Vince Young to the Canadian Football League, or, you know, Trent Richardson, or some of the other folks that were, in my view, and this has been a bit cruel, but retreads from sort of the NFL scrap heap. That they weren't impressed with that. They were impressed with the fact that he's won some great cups. They were impressed with the fact that he was a really good defensive coordinator and brought in, you know, great defensive schemes and so on. That's what got him into the NFL, and Freddie Kitchens got him into the NFL, not because of bringing in retreads like Richardson and Vince Young.
Yeah, there's so much analytics and that goes into the NFL, from the wide receiver to the coaches, that they're not going to be, you know, just because you're shiny and new doesn't mean anything. You know, they want some pretty disgusting fat coaches.
I mean, if he had brought those guys in and they had been like, holy mackerel, where has this guy been for the last 3 years? And he just lit up the Canadian Football League, then maybe I'd buy that. But they didn't. None of them even made a... Well, I think Richardson made a couple of game rosters, but Vince Young didn't get it even into a game roster. So I don't buy that one at all.
No, but you know what? It sure is fun to talk about.
Oh, I know.
It?
That's why I like doing these shows with you, because I know. You're like poking the bear.
I love it. Well, I was driving. We went out to the cemetery to visit my wife's parents yesterday. And as we were coming back, I called one of those football guys. And I had it on speakerphone just as I was talking, because I knew this was going to be a long talk. And my wife's just like... like she's running out of oxygen. I'm like, well, that's what these conversations are like. You know what I mean? You talk around and around and around in circles, and it's a lot of fun. By the way, the Monday poll brought to you by Mike Abu-Meshrick Investments.
I like it.
Who should the Riders start at quarterback on Thursday at Ottawa? You guys wouldn't believe the poll results. 47% say Cody Fajardo. 46% say Isaac Harker. And 7% say other.
Come on, man.
And what that means, I have no idea who other would even be. I just threw that out there.
Other, they're probably jumping on my comment about platooning. So that's platooning.
Or they think it should be Darian Durant or Kevin Glenn or something like that.
Or Ken Austin or
why not
Kerry Joseph? He was MVP, Kerry Joseph. Bring him back.
Yeah.
And Ronnie could come out of the grave and help us.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Chewing.
And by the way, Justin Hagley, just back away from the keyboard. As we're looking at the... It's Justin Hagley, Justin Hagley, Justin Hagley. It's not the
Johnny Manziel.
It's not
there
the
you
Justin
go.
Hagley show.
Yeah, so put that as the poll question. Do you think Johnny
should
Manziel...
Should it be Manziel?
Should Manziel start?
That's what the
7% is.
I saw it on Facebook on the weekend. Everybody's talking about the Ryder quarterback situation. That's why we're talking about it on this Monday morning. Don't forget, Johnny Manziel has been banned from the league. And that is not going to change. So he can't sign with anybody in the Canadian Football League. And he's still not getting it, by the way. He's hoping that he'll sign in the XFL. But he was, you know, he finished the season with the Alliance League in Memphis. Wasn't great there. I'd love to see Johnny Manziel here too, just as I, you know, enjoy driving by car crashes and watch seeing what happens.
You want him here not for sport reasons, though.
Right. No, no, I wanted him there entirely for sport reasons. What other reasons would there be?
I don't know, recovery. We won't get, it's not a recovery show yet, is it?
No, not yet. No.
I'd love to help Johnny Manziel, and you'd probably love to help him too.
I tried.
But until you help
yourself,
him, he's not going to help himself.
Yep.
Until he's ready to ask for help, you can't help him.
Right, so just forget about Johnny Manziel quarterbacking here or anywhere in the Canadian Football League, which is a darn shame.
I think, to use your reference, I think the cows are in the barn. Is that
the hay's in the barn?
I mean,
what are you getting at? That horse is out of the barn.
You got to run with the players that you had in camp.
What he said.
That's fair, too.
They're here. We knew this was going to happen. Jeremy knew. Everyone knew that Kolaris was going to get hurt.
But then why call Kevin Glenn on Friday, then?
Just to see. Because you can't. I mean, all right. Kolaris goes on IR for 6 games, and now you got, you know, $300,000 to work with, which you didn't have last week.
That's true.
Here's my answer to that question: is because it happened so early. It happened the first game of the year. If this had happened the third game of the year or the sixth game of the year, would we have been calling Kevin Glenn and Darren Durant and Travis Lule? No, we wouldn't. But it happened the first game of the year. It happened the third play of the season. I think that's why those phone calls were made.
By the way, for those that have just joined us late here in hour two, Simone Lawrence suspended by the Canadian Football League for 2 games for his high hit on Zach Kolaris the other night, his head hit, if you will. Now everybody's saying to expect an appeal, or at least that's what the fans are saying. I'm not seeing any pundits or insiders say that. Do you expect that's going to happen, Marshall?
I expect there'll be an appeal, but as I said earlier in the show, I might have worded it differently, but I hope that whoever he approaches within the Players Association, I hope that person in the Players Association says, this is what I'd say.
Yeah.
I'd say, I'm going to launch your appeal because that's my obligation as your player representative. But if you ask me what I really think, you probably should have got 3 games.
And people forget, I think, that no is an acceptable answer to any question. Hey, can I not be punished as much? No.
Yeah. Well, I think the suspension this morning of 2 games for Simone Lawrence, it's one more than I thought he'd get. I thought he would get one.
Yep.
I think this is a major step forward in the credibility department for the Canadian Football League.
Yes.
I really do. They needed to do this. They had to get tough on player safety. I'm with Mike Riley, who says the onus is on the players, but until the players get it, they're going to need to be suspended for not looking after each other. And which goes further to one of the discussions I had on the weekend about football. You saw Jackson Jeffcoat launch himself at the head of Brandon Bridge in that playoff game. You saw that. Odell Willis did the same thing to Zach. It just wasn't as egregious as the week before. So they bring in an extra official for the playoffs to watch for quarterback head hits. This is one topic that came up on the weekend. Is that extra official still out there?
Yes, I think the extra official's still out there. But even with the extra official, they still missed Brandon Bridges' hit last year in the playoff game. So I love what the league did with this 2-game suspension. It's one more than I thought he'd get. It's one less than I thought he should have got. But if they come out of this and they find, I don't know who it was that hit William Powell late in that obvious one, that should be a half a game check for that one. There's probably 2 or 3 other ones that happened. If they come out of week one with a 2-game suspension for Lawrence, a half a game check for that guy that hit Powell, and a few more of these sort of half a game check things, then the players in the league are going to go, maybe I need to take this seriously, that they're protecting the quarterbacks and I got to play within the rules. So I'm going to give the CFL administration and Randy Ambrosi, you know, I'm going to say a B for what's happened so far, but I don't know yet if there's any other fines or suspensions coming out this week. We just know about the Lawrence one.
And, you know, those headshots, you know, the a lot of them, well, you know, remember the olden days, the big hitting safety that you caught the ball over, you wouldn't want to catch the ball over the middle because that safety would come and knock your... That player doesn't exist anymore.
Yep.
And I remember talking to you about 2-3 years ago about how wrong that was. You know, these players deserve to living, and that player has every right to the ball that the receiver does. And we said, you know what? The bottom line is this isn't the game that football people want anymore.
But you're starting to see, and I'm not going to remember the names real well. You're starting to see behavior change. Mm-hmm. There was one game, there was one player, I think it was in the Winnipeg BC game, where the guy came in to make the tackle. He actually got a penalty for a targeting headshot, but he never hit the guy's head. It's because the referees are thinking, I got to protect the quarterback, got to protect the quarterback. There's a flag. He threw it. And he actually got overzealous and called a penalty when there wasn't one there. But at least give him credit for thinking about it. There was also one where I can't remember what game it was, but a punt returner was running the ball wide around the outside, and a blocker came in to do a blindside block. And decided, oh, I can't do that blindside block. So he kind of turned his back and just got in the way. He still got a penalty for a blindside block, which I think he should have. But, if that had been last year, that would have been guy gone, because he would have been lights out because he got hit from behind. Or not hit from behind, he got hit from a blindside. So the players are starting to get it, but there's still a few people, Simone Lawrence being one of them, that aren't going to get it until they get a suspension. Or, and he just got a two-gamer.
Or until they're out. I mean, how old are these players? You're talking about, old dog, new tricks kind of thing?
Yeah. Next generation is watching football, so they understand this now, whereas the generation that's playing right now is kind of learning on the fly.
Well, I haven't signed up for RMF yet, but hopefully I'm there. I got to go to this course. I got to learn. I played 20 years of football. I got to go to a course on how to tackle? Yeah, I do, because it's not the same game. I'm really looking forward to learning how to play football, because I thought I was pretty good at it for a while.
But it's still a great game.
It is.
Many would say the best game.
It is. And all that concussion and nonsense, that's what we're talking about. There's no more or less concussions in this than there are track and field or hockey. Well, or no, there's more in hockey.
It's totally true. And by the way, we gotta go to a commercial here, and we'll bring Dupes in for the overtime segment. However, this drove me nuts. Did a 20-minute interview with Wally, which is living online now on our Facebook page. The camera guys pack up all the gear. And then Wally goes, you should ask me about player safety. And I said, Wally, I said at the end, is there anything else you want to talk about? And you said no. And he goes, well, I want to talk about player safety because the CFL has a PR problem right now. The game is no more dangerous than any of these other contact sports. Lacrosse, hockey, you name it.
Climbing a tree.
Kids get concussions in swimming. It happens. Smoke your head off the end of the pool.
Skateboarding.
And he goes, it's a PR problem. That's the biggest thing facing the CFL right now, is what people think the perception of the danger of football is, because it's safer now, being coached better, officiated better, played safer than it ever has. And I'm like, Wally, why didn't you bring that up? Next time we'll talk about that.
Just as an example, and I won't get into the details, but I think I've had 6 concussions in my life, and only 2 from football.
What were the other 4 from?
I thought I wasn't getting into the details. One was bike riding, one was playing slow pitch, and I think 2 were playing hockey.
See, I think I've only had 3 concussions, and I think I'm an idiot for just even suggesting that I've only had 3. 300?
Yeah.
Probably, realistically.
Breaking news out of Kamloops. Oh, they just took it off my screen here, but I can remember it. The Kamloops Blazers have hired as head coach and general manager Sean Clouston, and naming his assistant as Daryl Sador. So Clouston, shown the door in Medicine Hat once Willie Desjardins became available, lands on his feet in Kamloops. They got a great coach. Justin, I'm glad that you're laughing. He says, if the league got rid of quarterback slides, do you think we'd be having these type of conversations? How are you going to... What do you want him to dive head first?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah,
and he says, P.S. Sorry, Rod, I've been waiting all weekend to have these conversations. It's all good. I'm totally teasing you. Guys, the last word to yours before we bring Dupes.
I like Justin's a lot, because when a quarterback slides, he thinks he's good. You relax. And you have to be on at all times playing football. It's way too dangerous. You hear the whistle half a second before I do. I don't think that's a bad idea. I think quarterbacks will get down quicker, and at least they'd be ready to take a hit.
What should they do?
I'm not a big fan of slides, and when I was quarterback, never did slide. But I know how to avoid a head collision when I'm carrying the ball, because I just know at the last second before the guy hits me that I turn my shoulder, or I get lower, or I do something to get out of the way. But as a quarterback, when you're sliding, you're not expecting to get hit. Claros had no opportunity to kind of move his head, so he's vulnerable. So I'm not a big fan of slides. Either don't carry the ball or throw the ball out of bounds or run the ball out of bounds. But if you're going to run up the middle, you're asking for trouble. Protect yourself, cover the ball, cower down or something like that. But don't give yourself up, because somebody's going to take advantage of it, and Simone Lawrence did.
We got to. I said that was it, so we're out of time. Boys, thanks. Abu, see you next week. Marshall, see you tomorrow on television.
Yes.
We'll get to Craig Smith's comment in a moment, the former Rider director of player personnel watching from Penticton, B.C. this morning, how Simone Lawrence could have been a Rider. We'll talk about that in a minute. DuPont joins us for the overtime segment next. Sudden Death coming up on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Monday morning sports update. Brooke Henderson woke up as Canada's most successful golfer today, and she's only 21. Brooke won the Meyer LPGA Classic yesterday to break the Canadian record for tour victories with 9. It was her second victory in 3 years at Blythe Field Country Club. Hundreds of thousands of supporters, actually they're telling me perhaps millions, packed Toronto's downtown today for a parade celebrating the Raptors winning their first NBA title. And well, they should have. The victory parade saw the team travel the downtown road in open-air, double-decker buses with the Larry O'Brien Championship Trophy beside them. Darren DuPont, somebody had asked me through this Raptors run if Drake would get a ring if they won a championship. And I immediately, actually, it was Kelly Bale who wrote me that on Facebook. And I immediately threw out a no, not knowing any better. I didn't think they were even going to win a championship, so I didn't really care. The question now is, does he get a ring? And I'm sure that he would.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a question of a doubt, Drake's getting a ring. He's their global ambassador. He's still in their franchise somewhere. He's a part of the franchise now.
And he flew Kawhi Leonard from Vegas to Toronto on his own jet, on Drake's jet, to be there in time for the parade today. So, yeah, Drake's getting a ring. And good for him. Like you said, well, he is part of the team. They gave him a $700,000 diamond-encrusted jacket during the playoffs. I'm pretty sure they'll give him a $30,000 ring. So who would be the Riders' global ambassador? Who should be the Riders? Does Brent Butt have the chutzpah of Drake? Maybe it doesn't need to be Brent, but maybe it should be the girl that sings Cheap Wine and Cigarettes. Jess Moskalu. Maybe okay. It should be her.
She'd be good.
Who else? Maybe it should be Tyler Bozak. Can he do that? Probably not.
Maybe not yet.
The Blue Jays return to Rogers Center tonight to open a three-game set against the LA Angels. Toronto hopes to keep its bats going after beating the Astros in Houston yesterday 12-0. The 12 runs matched a season high. Veteran Edwin Jackson scheduled to start for the Jays. Former Jays slugger and current AL home run leader Edwin Encarnacion will join the Yankees in New York today after a weekend trade with Seattle. He's expected to be available in the opener of a three-game series against Tampa Bay manager Aaron Boone, since he plans to use the 36-year-old as his team's primary DH. Talking business. Oh, Kim Coates. Sandra Larson says Kim Coates. So does Dave Spatafora. Kim Coates, I would use. He'd be a great global ambassador sure for the would. Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Yep.
Justin Hagley, Rod Peterson, right. Well, I think the Saskatchewan Rush have claimed Kim Coates as their global ambassador. Can he do two teams? We need to look in. Do the Riders even want a global ambassador, more importantly? Something that we shouldn't be talking about. Hey, let's get into some business things here, because it's always fun to talk about.
Yeah.
We're in the business of being in business. Business is good. We're making a big announcement tomorrow. Didn't you say that we could say
well,
that?
Well, it's happening this week.
Oh, it's not tomorrow?
Well, we hope it's tomorrow.
Okay.
But it's going to be this week.
And that's as far as
we got to cross some I's, dot some T's, make some phone calls.
Contract stuff.
And then we're going to be, I think, we're going to be okay.
I think it's good to tell the people that he's doing all the work here with the Rod Peterson Show. He's doing the things 10 years ago when we launched a little radio show that I was doing. And I said, I want you to do that now. I don't want to. That's too much work. I just want to show up for 2 hours a day and talk.
So if you wonder why,
struck a deal.
If you wonder why for the folks listening,
why you're on your phone,
they
all
don't
the time.
Know. But I'm on my phone while we're doing the show. It's just the price of doing business. I mean, I was doing everything. I mean, I don't know if you saw that on my Snapchat feed. I was here last night at whatever time cleaning the joint.
I know exactly what you're doing, yeah. And I say hats off to you, sir, because I know how much work it is. I almost feel guilty after the first day, the very first day of this show, 2 weeks ago today. I said to Clark Monroe, our producer, I said, when do you guys want me here tomorrow? He says, well, we go to air at 10, so anytime before 10. That's all you want?
Whatever you need to be able to show up and do the job.
Well, and their thing is just show up and be entertaining. I'm like, I can do that. I can do that. That's all I should have ever had to do. You know? So that's why I'm loving this is the best job I think I've ever had.
That's why this show will succeed.
Why?
Because people are in positions to succeed.
Right.
The guys in the back, the guys here, you, everybody. You need people to do what they do, and that's it. You don't need to put people
you
in a position.
You do you.
You do you. And you're entertaining. You show up and host a show and have coffee with everybody in the morning.
And have the hot takes.
And have the hot takes and do what you do. Spend your time doing what else you do to be ready for this in your own way. I'll do what I do. Clark's doing what he does.
Paul's doing what he does.
Everybody brings something to the table, and that's when we have success.
Todd Guggenmos, I hope I'm saying that right, and that is an outstanding name, Guggenmos, says Brad Wall for the Riders Global Ambassador.
I like it.
Maybe that should be the Twitter poll tomorrow, because the poll today at Rod Peterson Show on Twitter is who should the Riders start at quarterback Thursday in Ottawa? The leader is Cody Fajardo, but just by a doll hair, they say that Cody Fajardo should start at quarterback. He's pulled out a bit of a lead here, they're telling me. Putting it up on my prompter, 52.9% are saying Cody Fajardo should start. And I would vote in that 52.9%. 59.2% say Cody Fajardo should start against Ottawa. Isaac Harker has 39.2%, who nobody even knew who he was. Well, the Riders did, but nobody else around here till a couple weeks ago.
I looked it up really quickly, and maybe I'll do more, and this might be something worth clipping. But we talk about quarterbacks needing some time. Anthony Calvillo starts in Las Vegas in 1994, doesn't go to Montreal till 98, wasn't an all-star in the league till the year 2000. That was an East Division all-star, and a league all-star in 2002. It takes time. He worked behind some quarterbacks. I think he was behind Tracy Ham. Doug Flutie, when he won the Heisman in 84, it took him a long time, till 92, till he got to Calgary. And then he starts winning great cups and goes to Toronto. It doesn't happen overnight. Right. The good quarterbacks need to adjust, learn the game, study the game, and then deploy it and have success. That's how it works everywhere.
You don't
just come in blind, start shooting, and have success.
But that's why I love these conversations that I have with the football guys. I've been talking about this all weekend with the scouts and coaches and GMs, a lot of guys that are in between jobs right now, if you will. And they say the pressure now, this is a different world than 1984 in pro football and even college football. It's win now or you're gone. And that's why they're rushing quarterbacks onto the field before they're ready. And that's the thing. You know, Justin writing here saying, who do we think we should start, the Riders should start, and why? Well, we've covered that throughout the course of this program today. Cody Fajardo was the number two quarterback. So with the number one hurt, then the number two guy goes in. And then when he gets hurt, or for whatever reason, he can't play anymore, maybe he's faltering, then you put in the three. But you have guys listed for a reason, and that's why Cody Fajardo needs to start on Sunday, and I think, or on Thursday, and that was your rant here on Friday, right? Mm-hmm. That Fajardo needs to be the guy.
Has to. He has to be the guy. He's been around the league a little bit. There's just no question about it. He has to start in this game. And you know what? If you're thinking you have an opportunity and you've got the guys in place that you can be competitive this season and it's not a throwaway, You don't turn to a young guy because he's your best chance right now. You liked him in the preseason. You liked him in the second half of week one. That's when you turn to a Kevin Glenn. If Cody Fajardo is your number two, can't step up and be a number one, then you go to a Kevin Glenn, or you go to a Darian Durant, or you go to a veteran guy or somebody who's proven they can win games. You don't put all that pressure on a rookie until you've decided, okay, the season's over. We don't think we're going to be competitive. We're giving the young guy a chance in a low expectation where he can come out and have succeed without the pressure of a Grey Cup or the playoffs hanging in the balance.
Well, this is just to put a wrapper on the overtime segment. A, thank you, St. John Ice Caps, for the golf shirt. I appreciate it. Two, we're entering the time of year where the TSN highlights, particularly this time of day, and Sportsnet are all baseball, which is great. Tennis and golf, and that's it. So if you want your CFL fix, this is the place to come daily around the world. And it was CFL heavy on this Monday. Why wouldn't it be? First Monday since week one. Overreaction Monday. We have declared the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as the number one team in the CFL entering week two. Don't let it go to your head, Winnipeg. Simone Lawrence suspended for two games by the CFL for his hit on Zach Caleros last week. Bravo, CFL. That's more than I thought you were going to give them. So that's awesome. Riders were in a pinch. If you missed any of this today, I invite you to go to your screen. Just go back on that little white arrow right to the start. Right, I did that right, didn't I?
You did that right.
Opposite of what I'm looking. Back, and listen to it. Or rodpeterson.com, the listen live. Before we go off the air, that's exploding.
Huge.
Exploding with listeners.
Oh, yeah. Way more than we're seeing on Facebook.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And it's great because that means that people want to take you with them. And the best part is they hear about the great, you know, community we've built on Facebook and in the Facebook Live and the comments section, that they can't wait to get out of their cars or to get to a spot where they've got Wi-Fi and you can get the computer rolling or get your phone plugged in and join the community there.
We talked about Darian Durant. We talked about Kevin Glenn, all of that in today's show. Clark telling me in my ear here, again, that's why I look like I had a stroke when I was talking. YouTube, go and subscribe and you'll get all the best clips daily on our YouTube feed. That is at the Rod Peterson Show. I think we're going to wrap it up and shut her down for the day. So long, Norway. Thanks for tuning in to our fans and friends there. And to everybody else, we'll see you tomorrow on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.